reading for this evening is taken from John's Gospel and the chapter 8 and the first 12. We'll read some verses down into that chapter. Chapter 8 of John and the first 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Amen. We'll end our reading there at that verse 21. We look to the Lord in prayer for his help and for his blessing upon the word as we come to meditate on the substance of the verses that we have just read together. Our God and our Father, we bow again before thee. We look to thee for help from the sanctuary, Lord. We thank thee for the infallible word of God, and we pray now that thou would have that word to be applied to our hearts. Pray, Lord, that the application of the word by the Spirit of God will be such that it will be a saving word to those that are unsaved, that it might be a word of blessing to thine own blood-bought people. But, Lord, we look to thee for this. Pray that thou would give us help, Lord, in the preaching of thy word. Thou knowest the need, Lord, that the preacher has. Pray that thou would give to me that fresh anointing, that I might know the power of God in the place of preaching, that liberty that is found in the Holy Ghost. And I pray, O God, that thou would give to me clarity of mind. Lead me in the way that thou would have me to go. Give me, Lord, again, those words from thyself that I might speak, and speak them plainly, so that there will be an understanding of what the Lord has to say to us. We look to thee, Lord. Undertake for us now. Help us and bless us, we pray. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. In John's Gospel, we have eight great I Ams, the I Ams of Christ. And each of these statements is a metaphor, it's figurative language, it's giving to us some idea, some insight into the nature and into the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6, the first 35, the Lord says, I am the bread of life. The chapter 8 of John, the first 12, I am the light of the world. In the chapter 10, the first 9, the Lord says, I am the door. And again in the first 11, I am the good shepherd. In the chapter 11 of John's Gospel, the verses 25 and 26, the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. In the chapter 14, the first 6, he says, I am the way, the truth and the life. The chapter 15, the first 5, he says, I am the vine. And then in this chapter 8 and the first 58, Christ says, Before Abraham was, I am. He who is the great I am, the Jehovah in Exodus 3, is the great I am of these metaphors. He is the great I am of these statements. He was before Abraham, that is, He was before Abraham was born. He was before Abraham lived. Christ was. He existed. I am is the present continual tense, teaching the eternity and the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is without beginning, he is without end, he is the unchangeable one. We read of him in the opening chapter of John's Gospel, in the opening verse, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And then the verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Here we have the deity and the perfect humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in and from these eight statements, we learn that in him is found all that we have need of. He is the way of salvation. He is the way to heaven. He is the door. And all who in repentance and faith receive him, receive spiritual and eternal life and every provision that is necessary for a blessed and a fruitful life, a life of walking with the Lord, a life of serving the Lord here in this life before a joyful entrance into the glory land of heaven. Now, I want to take up this passage of scripture that we've been found in here in John the chapter 8, these verses that we've been reading together as they relate to the Lord Jesus Christ as the light. He says in these verses here that he is the light. I am the light of the world. And the Savior draws attention to four things in these verses and in this chapter as a whole. We have before us here, first of all, the sinner's darkness. The Lord says, I am the light of the world. Now, the implication of that surely must be that all of those who are without Christ are in darkness. If Christ is the light, all of those who are outside of Christ, without Christ, then they must be in darkness. And indeed, that is the case. In Isaiah, the chapter 60, the second verse, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. Gross darkness the people. The Old Testament picture of the sinner is that of a blind man in his darkness, just groping his way along. If we go back there into Isaiah in the chapter 59, let me read in the first 9 and the first 10. And here we can see what is being spoken of. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity for brightness. But we walk in darkness, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. Here is the picture of the natural man in his sin. He is to be found in darkness. Sinful men are in darkness. In the darkness of ignorance, we might say. Because as we read down into this chapter, into the first 19 of this chapter 8, we read, ye neither know me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father. Here is spiritual ignorance. There is no knowledge of the Lord. Those who have no knowledge of Christ are found in darkness. This is the darkness of being without Christ. In Ephesians 5, verse 18, Paul is speaking of their state before they were saved, talking to believers here. But he's talking to them about that state before they were saved, before they were the children of light. And he says, ye were sometimes darkness. Before they were saved, at that time they were in darkness. This is the darkness of the ignorance of not having the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, not knowing the Lord. That is what is found here. And this is the darkness that the devil wants to keep the sinner in. In 2 Corinthians 4, and in those verses there, the first 4 of 2 Corinthians 4, we read, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. It is the devil's purpose to keep men and women and young people in darkness, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into their hearts. This is man's natural state, and the sinner is comfortable with this state, comfortable in his sin. John 3, the verse 19, we read there that man loves darkness. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil, willing and happy and content to remain in the darkness of sin. But we have also here before us the sinner's bondage, his detention, if you like, his captivity. Now we can see that the Pharisees boasted of their freedom. If you look at the verse 33 there, they're answering the Lord. The Lord says to them in the verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they respond, and they answer the Lord, and they say, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" They were politically free. They were not in bondage to any foreign power. But there is another bondage to which they gave no thought. They were slaves to sin. They were in bondage to the devil. In Romans in the chapter 6, the verses 14 and 15 and 16 show this. We read there in the midst of those verses in Romans 6, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." Again, Paul is talking to the believer. He is saying that the believer now in Christ, a new person in Christ Jesus, that sin shall not have dominion over you. But once sin had dominion over them, when they were in their natural state in sin, they were in bondage to their sin. Dear unsaved, you may think and you may say that you are your own man. You might think that you just do as you please. But let it be clear to you that you belong to the devil. You're among the devil's crowd, and in your sinning, you please the devil. There is a bias in your heart, and that bias in your heart is against God and towards the devil. Proverbs the chapter 5 and in the verse 22, it speaks of this bondage that the unsaved are in. It says, "He shall be holden with the cords of his sin." The unsaved man, he's held by the cords of his sin. The term used here, it pictures sin as a bait. He is holden in it. He is in the net, so to speak. He has been taken. The bait has been put into the net, and he has taken the bait, and now he is captured. And sin, of course, is like the bait. It may seem to be attractive and to be very pleasant. And the sinner enters into the net so as to take the bait, but the net takes him. He's entangled in his sin. He's entangled in the net. He can't escape of himself. He is in bondage to it. He has been captured like a bird is captured in a net when it goes to take the bait. He is holden with cords. The word cords there literally is twisted ropes, or it could well be interpreted a noose. It is a picture of a condemned man being secured and led away to execution with no escape. He is captured and being led to execution with no escape. 2 Timothy, the chapter 2, the verse 26. It talks about those in the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. There's your bondage to sin and to Satan. Sin cripples all desires after God and after godliness. Sin binds the sinner and binds his hands, the hands of the sinner. And he would hand the sinner over for execution to God, that he might bear the very wrath of God. That is the penalty of sin. But people, we are slaves to sin. We are in bondage to the devil in our natural state. Sin, my friend, is holding the sinner and binding the sinner to to the devil. Then we have also here the sinner's danger. In that verse 21, and again the verse 24, we read the Lord saying, "Ye shall die in your sins. Ye shall die in your sins." Now, the Lord emphasizes it. He repeats it three times. He's saying to these people, time after time after time, "Ye shall die in your sins." Die with sin unpardoned. Die with your sin unforgiven. Unfit to meet God. And we see the result in the verse 21. They cannot be where the Lord is. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." You cannot go to heaven in your sins. That is what the Bible teaches. Now, if you cannot go to heaven, my friend, then you must go to hell. That's the other option. In Revelation 21, the verse 27, we read, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." There shall in no wise enter into it, that is, into heaven, anything that defileth. You cannot enter into heaven with your sin. That's the danger. My friend, if you cannot enter into heaven with your sin, then you must bear the penalty of your sin yourself for all eternity in hell. That's the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. God has declared it. That is what sin deserves. That's the punishment for sin. It is eternal damnation. And yes, those who would seek Christ, in the first 21, they seek him in vain. Look at what it says. The Lord says, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins." What's he talking about here? He's talking about the sinner wanting to be saved when it is too late. My friend, it is too late thinking about getting saved when you're standing before God in your sin. Too late then. Too late, my friend, when the grace of God is withdrawn. "Ye shall seek me, but not find me," the Lord is saying here. Very same thing is found in Proverbs, the chapter 1, the verse 28 and the verse 29. We find it there repeatedly. It's speaking of this same thing, speaking of the sinner's danger of not seeking the Lord, of being shut out of heaven. That is what we have here before us in those verses, the verse 28, the verse 29 of Proverbs chapter 1. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." Left it too late. But then we have also the sinner's deliverance in the first 32 and again the first 36. Look at what it says. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The truth shall make you free. The gospel truth. The preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, the verse 16. The gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation. The Holy Spirit taking the word of the gospel that points sinners to Christ and applying it powerfully and effectively to the hearts that he has prepared. The truth of the gospel applied by the Spirit of God to your quickened heart will set you free. The verse 36, the Son, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. We read there, "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the truth. He is truth incarnate. John chapter 14, the Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I am the truth. Christ can free a sinner from the bonds of sin. Christ can free the sinner from the penalty of sin and from the power of sin. That's the very purpose of Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ came. In Acts chapter 26, the verse 18, listen to the words. He came, my friend, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. He came to set the sinner free. In that verse there, in Acts 26, the verse 18, we have the same two terms before us. We have the term of darkness and of bondage or captivity. That's how the sinner is in his natural state. How can he be freed from the power of sin and from the penalty of sin? How can he be free from the guilt of sin, from the consequences of sin? How can the sinner be justified? How can the sinner be redeemed? By the Lord Jesus Christ, by the means of his atoning work and his precious blood. 1 Peter 1, the verse 18 and 19, we are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Here's his cross work. Here's Calvary, people. Here is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that satisfied the justice of God on behalf of all who repent and who put their trust alone in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They are redeemed. The term means they are loosened. Or they are loosened with a price. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price. He has paid the penalty of our sin. And therefore we can be loosened from our sin. We can be delivered from our sin. From the penalty of it and from the power of it. It is by the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to Calvary. And there is the means of our salvation. We can only be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. No other means. No other method of having our sin dealt with, save by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It is to lose us from the cords of sin with the price of his own blood, his atoning death. That's the freedom for all who come to Christ in repentance. Oh, dear men and women and young people, never rest until you have that freedom that Christ alone gives. Never rest until you have it. Without this, all other freedoms are a worthless privilege. Whether it's free speech or political freedom, what good are these when you come to die? They can't give you peace of conscience before God. And so we bring the message to a close. Simply by saying this to you, come to Christ, and come to Christ now. Come to Christ, my friend, at this very moment, and own your sin. Bring it before the Lord, confess your sin, and call on the Lord to save you. Seek him for salvation. The promise of God is that all who come to him, he will not cast out. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He'll give you peaceful rest. He'll give you rest for your soul. He'll give you peace with God. And he'll give you a readiness for heaven. Oh, that you might come and come even now to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. May the Lord help you and bless you in your coming. Amen.